God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom in the new heaven and the new earth. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. It should be, in matter of fact, the top story in the world, not just the United States. This is that Amazon.com decided to interact with governments at all in regards to books it stocks or sells. It doesn't necessarily stock them. It has been revealed by Jim Jordan, these are now the Amazon files, that Amazon is the latest tech company to have been revealed to have become a joint state actor. That's a legal phrase. That means something. Governments are not allowed to get businesses to do what they cannot. They're not allowed to have businesses undertake unconstitutional steps on their behalf. This makes Amazon.com a joint state actor. People familiar with contract law, I'm saying capital J, capital S, capital A. It means something. Jordan revealed yesterday the Amazon files. Feeling pressure from the White House, Jordan writes on Twitter, internal documents subpoenaed by the House Judiciary Committee and weaponization of government indicate that Amazon bowed down to Biden White House pressure to censor books. These never-before-released internal emails subpoenaed by judiciary revealed that the Biden White House pressured Amazon to censor books that express views disapproved of by the White House. And it's very, very clear that Amazon wanted to know flat out. They created talking points for a meeting. Hi, all. Here are the notes for pre-brief discussion with the White House today. Topic 1, Book Curation and Guidelines 101, Talking Point number 1. Top talking points to be made affirmatively, is the administration asking us to remove books, or are they more concerned about the search order, or both? That's not a meeting any business should take. The response to a request from government to remove books from your website should be no. And we're not going to discuss it any further, and you can consult our attorneys, particularly a business that has the money that Amazon.com has. And still run by, although he stepped down as CEO, still run by Jeff Bezos, who's a publisher now. Jeff Bezos runs the Washington Post, which he purchased for pennies in his eyes, in his mind, and in relation to the wealth he has. It was a toy thing. If you're in the publishing business, your response to any of this should be no. And now enters a guy named Andy Slavitt. Andy Slavitt has variously, as I recall, worked for pharma and then back and forth. Now he helps regulate drugs. Now he talks about them. Now he promotes them. It's Andy Slavitt who Alex Berenson is suing, along with the White House, for censoring his tweets when Twitter was working with the government as a joint state actor, illegally censoring tweets, in that case of Berenson. Berenson, as you recall, got some form of settlement with Twitter as they agreed to settle the case. And in that settlement, he got to disclose what Twitter did to him. He's now going after the White House, the people who run Joe Biden, and Andy Slavitt. Andy Slavitt is refusing to respond to a congressional subpoena. In fact, the White House, the people who run Joe Biden, are telling their staff, do not respond. You don't have to, and the DOJ is not going to pursue any charges against you. So Andy Slavitt figures into the Jim Jordan revelations, as he revealed to us, about the Amazon files, Amazon working with government to censor books. Jordan writes, Andy Slavitt, the senior Biden White House official who demanded that Facebook censor a meme and true information, was pressuring Amazon at the same time. On March 2nd of 2021, Slavitt fired off an email demanding to know who he and his White House colleagues could talk to at the company about the high levels of propaganda and misinformation and disinformation on Amazon. Yep, and he sent that email out demanding a meeting. So Slavitt, who's made his money, as I recall, from pharma, who went after Berenson, demanded that Berenson's tweets be censored was now going to go about demanding that certain books be disappeared. And Amazon responded, God is pro-free speech. Just want to remind everybody that. How do I know? Because I'm speaking. Because you're listening. God is pro-free speech. He's also pro-accountability. If you find yourself on the side that is against speech, it's just another way you stand against God. And people can face accountability for what they say, unless, of course, they're in government, in which case they have a waiver if they're doing it in official business, unless their name is Donald Trump, which case all the bets are off. Back to Jim Jordan and this White House, this revelation about the Amazon files. Jordan writes, how did the Biden White House conclude there was, quote, propaganda and misinformation in books sold in Amazon's bookstore? The White House ran keyword searches for controversial topics such as, quote, vaccine and emailed Amazon when it didn't like how the search results appeared. In fact, here's an email from Andy Slavitt, whose email address, by the way, for government is who? Like World Health Organization, EOP.gov. If you search for vaccines under books, I see what comes up. I haven't looked beyond that, but if that's what's on the surface, it's concerning. Happy to get brief, but want to understand the data when we do. I'm roping in Robert as well, Robert Benjamin, one of his colleagues at the White House. This is a government staffer, or advisor, pardon me, emailing a company saying, I'm unhappy with your search results. I'm going to loop in one of my colleagues. I would like to see the data on how this is happening. Did he read the books? No. Does Slavitt have a history of wanting true information removed? Yes. Does he have a history of wanting jokes removed? Yes. Is any of this American? No. It stands plainly against the United States Constitution and the First Amendment. It stands plainly against God, who is free speech, pro-free speech. All of this is something that belongs in a communist country. Oh, that's interesting. A country that locked down part of our economy for a flu it paid to create, and then propped up other parts of our economy that destroy human life and helped keep them running, that distributed money to illegal immigrants that was tagged for COVID relief, as they did in the separate country of Washington, $340 million illegally distributed. A country that's allowing an invasion in order to disrupt the government is acting like a communist government. Wow. God is anti-communism. How do I know? Because Karl Marx was a Satanist. Karl Marx said one day he would be greater than God. He wrote poetry about how he hated God. That's why so many, well, no, that's not true. That's why all Marxism is divisive and evil. So back to this piece from Jim Jordan, the Amazon files. A guy named Zach Butterworth, also working for the government, one of the colleagues of Andy Slavitt, wrote back, thanks for your response. 5 minutes ago, I searched vaccine on Amazon, and the attached book was one of the first in the stack. When I click on the product page, I don't see any CDC warning. So now you have Slavitt's colleagues jumping in to be upset as well. I don't see any CDC warnings on these books. Why do we need CDC warnings on books? Because we're stupid and we can't think for ourselves, is what the people of the White House think. Or is it this? The real reason is because we can think for themselves. And that really, really bothers them. They can't stand the fact that we are not taking orders. So they demand this meeting. Jim Jordan writes about the Amazon files that shows that Amazon is taking orders from government. Why did Amazon agree to take this meeting? Because they were feeling pressure from the White House. How'd that pressure from the White House get amplified? Well, this is a fascinating DC two-step. If the government doesn't like something that's happening, one of the things they'll do is bring pressure from outside sources by, you know, maybe going to BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed's been known to do the government's bidding from time to time. So here's a story now that's being sent around Amazon.com. These are Amazon employees talking to Amazon employees. Subject line, heads up, upcoming negating BuzzFeed story in COVID-19 book. Heads up that we anticipate BuzzFeed will run a negative story looking at COVID-19 related books on Amazon. The story touches on many of the points we've raised over the last year, and I work closely with the CC's team for points related to search, review, and personalization. Related to this topic, the books team has a meeting on 3/19 with these, they don't name these people, to take a closer look at the books. The content risk management team's still working on their documents. And at the bottom of the email, it says, blank has been close to our counterparts in this one, as PP's feeling pressure from the White House task force on this. So BuzzFeed jumps in and says, we're working on a piece because we're deeply concerned about the search results on Amazon, at the same time as Andy Slavitt, who makes his money, as I recall, from pharma and then advising pharma and then regulating pharma and then working at the White House, wants this all shut down. Jim Jordan. After the White House spent a week berating Amazon, what did the online bookstore do? Starting on March 9, the same day as its meeting with the White House, Amazon enabled Do Not Promote for books that expressed the view that vaccines were not effective. Well, they're not vaccines, as we know. They're gene sequencing devices. So that's what they did. Amazon employees talking to Amazon employees. They decided to go through and de-emphasize books. We've had a CRM, customer response management review, of all titles mentioned, and have worked with the teams who specialize in search reviews and personalization tools. One book out of nine was found to violate our COVID policy and was removed. Removed! As a reminder, we did enable Do Not Promote for all anti-vax books whose primary purpose is to persuade readers vaccines are unsafe or ineffective. On 3/19, we'll review additional handling options with these books with you. However, many of the books highlighted by BuzzFeed are about COVID conspiracies, not vaccination, and therefore are out of scope of the policy. CRM plans to resume work on a broad misinformation policy again as we align our approach on anti-vax books. Now, as I'm going through this, I'm remembering that Amazon absolutely disappeared a book called When Harry Became Sally. It's one of the most complete books on the lie of transgenderism, on the brutality of transgenderism, on how it was founded upon the work of two known pedophiles. That was disappeared. It also happens to be a very compassionate book, emphasizing during the opening few pages and paragraphs the need to have compassion for people who are genuinely confused about their gender rather than people who are, you know, pushing people into becoming confused. Did Amazon remove that because of government? Because COVID and the transgender lie are the same thing, benefiting the same organizations, Big Pharma, the sexual left, and government. Jim Jordan, back to this piece, as he revealed a day ago, the Amazon files, he wrote on Twitter. And that wasn't all. Amazon also considered other ways to reduce the visibility of certain books the White House didn't like. And as I go through and look at these attempts, it just goes back to show that power and absolute power corrupts. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Who seeks absolute power? Satan. He can't have it, but he seeks it. Who has it? God. And it cannot be relinquished. He's always had it, he has it now, and he always will have it. Which one of those entities, again, is pro-free speech? Well, Satan will let you say what you want for now. So will God. Difference is this. God invented us and gave us a code book, the Bible. Things he likes to hear. Things he would like to hear us say. And why? Because as we justify his, well, taking over of our lives, we grow to understand why we would praise his glory, why we would speak of his glory. Satan, on the other hand, never wants to tell the truth about what he is. This is why he may be pro-free speech, but he's not pro-truth. Interestingly, neither is the government. These injections were not safe. They were not effective. They never were, and they were never designed to be. How do I know that? Because of free speech. I read the SEC filings of the pharma companies when they began pushing these injections. We'll come back with a woman who is fighting a mighty battle against the state of California's attempt to sexualize children. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We are called to be in the world and not of it. And when you hear that I'm about to talk with you about something happening in the state of California, I beg you to stop and pause. You may not live in the state of California. AFR has stations all across the country. West Coast, not as much. You may not live in the state of California. You may think it does not affect you. I'm here to testify to you. Testimony. What happens in these separate countries like California is designed to happen to you. I did an interview, and the whole interview is up on my podcast. You can go grab the podcast app on your phone. You have one. It's the Todd Herman Show. If you want to see the video, and it's quite a video to watch, you can subscribe to the video service I provide at video.toddhermanshow.com. It's HD quality video, three cameras. It's 27 cents a day if you commit to a year. I think it's 37 if you do month by month, 37 cents a day. Go to video.thetoddhermanshow.com and you get that every day. The audio version of my podcast is available for free, always will be, because it's about spreading the word of God. You're going to hear pieces of an interview I did with a woman named Erin Friday. And Erin is a lawyer who's using her skills to fight against the utter perversity and depravity in the state of California, which is ungodly at the highest levels of ungodliness. It's targeting our kids. This is going to come to where you live. In all likelihood, it's there now, as Erin explains. I asked her, as we got to talking and looking in her eyes, I already knew the answer. But I asked Erin Friday what brought her into this battle against the lie of transgenderism.
My daughter came home from sex ed class, and she and all of her friends picked something on the LGBTQ alphabet, every single one of them. That's 100% after that class. So I knew something was afoot, and that germinated inside of her body as she went through puberty and went through that lonely time called COVID, when they didn't let our kids go to school, they didn't let them socialize, they lived through the computer, they were virtual humans, and that seed grew, and she moved across the spectrum of LGB and then landed on the T, and was convinced that she was born wrong and that she was really a boy. And that was pretty much the moment of reckoning for me as to what the heck is going on in our schools and in our state, because I have to be honest, I was absolutely oblivious, despite the fact that I was a longtime volunteer at the school. I knew all the teachers by their names.
But they were hiding this from her. And remember, there are people like me who've been fighting this battle for 8 years. And many people have only become aware of it in the past year or 2 years in any serious sense. So I talked to Erin about, as she got into this fight and understood that these teachers were hiding this from her, that they had groomed her child, which cost her enormous amounts of pain. She shared with me she'd thought of killing herself, because she was watching her little girl destroy herself and people cheering it on. Look how brave and stunning. I asked her how she feels now as she looks back and understands what was going on behind her back.
It has turned into an ideological Marxist party that is determined to destroy family and everything that is good. It is adopting queer theory, which is to take everything that is normal and lovely and makes us humans and turning it upside down. I know you're a religious man. I'm not particularly religious, but this is evil. And I'm sure your listeners will agree on this. This is just pure evil. And I don't know when my party switched. Maybe it was always this way. I can't comprehend at the moment, but somewhere my party stopped being a party of science and a party of the little guy to being a party of destruction. Yeah. And I'm embarrassed that I was a part of it.
So her looking back on this is, How did I not know I was a leftist in good standing? Now, by the way, towards the end of the interview, I invited her to let God into her heart. Because she's seen the evil. She's seen the other side. God warned us. It's interesting what she said to me about that and didn't say. I asked her about the mechanics of getting her daughter out of this cult, and it absolutely is a cult.
We were able to extract her from what I call the gender cult. It was a, you know, it was a long journey, and it was very difficult. And of course, you walk this alone because parents are pariahs. We are hated. The doctors don't help us. The psychologists don't help us. The teachers don't help us. Everyone is against us, trying to push the trans agenda on your child. And it's grueling. I have to admit that, you know, there were times where I didn't get out of bed, and there were times I was thinking of ending my own life because watching my daughter die by a thousand cuts and having everyone cheer her on as she harms herself was the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
Sadly, I've met countless parents like Aaron, 50 or 60, who've had to flee those separate countries. Guys, this is coming to you. California is a pro-kidnapping state. $19 Greyhound ride, your kid pulls up, goes to any public building, they're gone. And they'll surgically alter them and chemically alter them for free. Taxpayers pick up the bill. And they fully intend to make it a so-called trans tourism state. I asked Aaron about what the schools do. What are these tactics that they do? And she wanted to make clear that it's not just in California.
In every school in the nation, public school, and here in California, in our Catholic schools, believe that or not, in our religious schools, they are teaching kids that they could be born in the wrong body. They are going to the TK. That's four-year-olds. These are kids who still believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And they are reading them kids trans books, planting the seed so when this child is distressed, that they can call on that, you know, transgenderism that has been germinating in their bodies when they need it. They are teaching, they hold clubs. They hold a UBU club at lunchtime for third graders in various schools, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade at lunchtime so that they can hide it from the parents. The UBU clubs are trans clubs. And they call it the sweet spot. The teachers actually say that on video. It's the sweet spot so that they can lie to parents.
I hope you'll watch the video because I want you to see her eyes. I mean, her face as she remembers this. She has PTSD. I'm not a psychologist, but I've worked with a lot of guys with PTSD. She has PTSD. I talked to her about online pressure groups. Look, you can have all the parental screening software you want on your kids' phones. They'll still get to these forums because those groups, the software doesn't recognize this as harmful.
Oh, the online coaching, I know it because I took her phone and I, you know, she had fake accounts. So she had an Instagram account that I was aware of that I watched, and then she had a fake one. And so I was able to get onto her phone and see everything that was being pushed at her. And yes, there's a community of groomers, and these groomers can be 16-year-olds who have also been groomed. So you have a 13-year-old talking to a 16-year-old who's talking to a 19-year-old, and they're catapulting them forward. This is why you feel bad. This is what you need to do. This is how you bind your breasts. This is how you run away. This is how you emancipate. This is what you say, you know, threaten suicide. There's a whole a group out there online telling these kids what to do, what to say, and how to get hormones, you know, via the mail and behind their parents' backs. There's also a bunch of adults out there, you know, I don't know if you can see this, but they're saying, like, I'm your mom now.
Glitter parents.
Yeah, glitter parents, and they you know, men find these kids who put on their Instagram account MTF, male to female, or FTM, female to male, and they know that these kids are vulnerable, and these are their targets. These are their targets. They also tell these kids, hey, you know, you're not going to have your breasts later because you're going to get top surgery, a euphemism for a double mastectomy. So why don't you take pictures of your breasts and send them to me? Because you're not going to have them anyway.
Yep.
And so they use these kids, these vulnerable kids. They're sexual predators. They're medical predators. You know, they offer to house these kids. You have glitter families in your own neighborhood who are willing to take your own children away from you. The online pressure on these kids is just immense.
2 weeks ago, I helped a friend from one of the separate countries get to Wyoming because the glitter parents were coming for his kids via CPS, Child Protective Services, because my friend would not pretend that his boy is a girl. He literally had to flee with his son to a place where his wife doesn't know where he is. Why? So that when CPS arrives, his wife can say, don't know where my daughter is or my son is. Don't know. This is the reality. Aaron runs an organization, executive director of an organization called Save California Kids. I'll get you the URL where you can help with this, a donation. If you live in California, there's a ballot initiative. I talked to her about a very specific guy who's doing very specific bits of damage to the state of California. His name is Scott Weiner. And Aaron described what he's like.
This man single-handedly has ruined the state of California. He is the man who put men into women's prisons. He is the man who created the trans sanctuary state that we talked about. He is the man behind the bill that permits 12-year-olds to leave their family's home with no claim of abuse. Or self-harm or harm to others. A 12-year-old can walk out their front door and go into a residential facility. That is this man. This man tried to make it child abuse for parents like me who hold the line and believe in biological reality. Although that's already happening in our state. Parents are losing custody of their kids for refusing to socially or medically transition their children. I mean, this man is just... He needs to be stopped.
He's a state senator who also made it easier for men to inflict their sexual desires on the bodies of boys. If you're a 26-year-old man or 24-year-old man and you inflict your sexual desires upon the bodies of a 13-year-old, you don't have to register as a sex offender. So you can do it again. Aaron is the executive director or executive committee director for Protect Kids CA. protectkidsca.com. I encourage you to donate because this is just, it's a godly fight. And I believe that God is using this to bring Aaron to himself. I know that God wants us to stop this evil, and you know that too. Aaron wanted to make clear why she's asking for this help and the help that she needs.
We really need money now, right? Because we have to use paid petition gatherers. Mm-hmm. But our end date to get the 550,000 ballot signatures is April 19th. If we want to get it on the ballot for 2024, if we want to push it out to 2026, then we have until May 28th. We don't have 2 years to give. So we need to get it on the ballot for 2024. We need everyone who can donate from whatever state to donate. It actually matters. Those $2,500 donations actually add up. And again, this is a national issue. This isn't just a California ballot. We also have the polling. 75% of Californians are against gender mutilation of children. 75%. So that's liberals, independents, and Republicans are against this. So if we get it on the ballot, This is the stand, by the way. This will be the last stand in the United States. We have bans in 23 states right now. They are all red states. It's time to tackle the giant. It's time to go after the big blue states that are causing all of this harm. All eyes should be on California. Look, it is going to be the issue in 2024 in the presidential election. Let's ensure that Gavin Newsom does not get to be president, because he needs to own this. He needs to own the fact that boys are in our girls' locker rooms.
And men are in women's prisons raping them. This is the issue, well, perhaps of our era, because it goes to the core nature of truth, the ability to speak it, bodily sanctity. And also, Satan is vandalizing God's masterpiece made in his image. It is a deeply spiritual battle. It is also the creation of eunuchs, people who cannot be fruitful and multiply. So it's protectkidsca.com. If you're in California, you know someone who is, print out the ballot initiative, get it signed. If you can donate, do. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you coming back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Anyone remember back in the day when the fact checkers told us President Trump was just lying, trying to divide people when he talked about immigration and illegal immigration? And gosh, good thing none of this came true.
Over 130 legislators in this chamber have endorsed legislation that would bankrupt our nation by providing free taxpayer-funded health care to millions of illegal aliens, forcing taxpayers to subsidize free care for anyone in the world who unlawfully crosses our borders. These proposals would raid the Medicare benefits of our seniors and that our seniors depend on, while acting as a powerful lure for illegal immigration. That is what is happening in California and other states. Their systems are totally out of control, costing taxpayers vast and unaffordable amounts of money. If forcing American taxpayers to provide unlimited free health care to illegal aliens sounds fair to you, then stand with the radical left. But if you believe that we should defend American patients and American seniors, then stand with me and pass legislation to prohibit free government health care for illegal aliens.
And of course, that was happening then. It's happening now. I was just keeping in touch with some friends from the separate country of Washington State, former state, that spent $346 million. Illegally took that out of COVID relief and gave it to, well, refugees, meaning illegal immigrants, largely. They're also now have extended the rental on a hotel. They continue to buy or rent hotels to store illegal immigrants in because it increases their count in the Electoral College. It is Electoral College fraud. It is a fraud against the census. It is open rigging of elections. And it's happening straight in front of us. President Trump was right about all of this. Mitch McConnell did not join him. Mitch McConnell is one of the chief problems in this country. I would love to know who owns him. I have my guesses, but I'd love to know for sure. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise, like Mitch McConnell, Chuckie Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, on tall towers of shaking sand so that we can see them quaking and shaking in comparison to God's solid word that never changes. We thank the Lord for doing that with our feature we call The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
And that economy may well be strong, maybe even the strongest in the world, but it cannot sustain the weight of 12 million people per year coming in, expecting and getting $2,000 a month or $2,200 a month, $5,000 prepaid visa, and being secreted around the country to live as they choose. Can't do it. The Tower of Babbling. We take three clips that contend to show that God is in fact placing people up on these towers so we can see their wisdom crumble. The Mockingbird Media labels the Great Replacement Theory a brutal belief, a racist belief, when it's spoken of by white people. They call it compassionate and moderate immigration policy when it's illegally installed by people like Mitch McConnell and whoever runs Joe Biden. But what does the media do when black people complain about being replaced? Well, they ignore men like this.
Amen. They are finally waking up.
Let me start. NPR reported from August of last year to December of this year, they will spend $252 million on the migrants. $252 million.
That's in Chicago.
17,000 migrants come into this city. And just in Chicago. If we just break that in half and they become families, you got 8,500 families. Hispanics have 3.5 children. I'm submitting to you, in one generation, just one generation, the black vote will be null. They will have an additional 24,000 people on the voting rolls, along with the Hispanic population already here. They're playing chess, and you all are playing checkers. You are damning our youth, our next generation, to poverty by you all doing these political speeches. One generation, our youth, our vote will be null.
And not just the vote will be null, but the attitudes and activities imported into this country will, in fact, of course, continue to affect the cities like Chicago, which has enough problems. Now, I do not believe there's such a thing as the black vote or the Hispanic vote. Well, there is, but there shouldn't be. There should be votes of conscience. But the Mockingbird media is not going to call that man a racist for saying that. They just use their most powerful tactic, which is the propaganda of silence. Praise God that black people are waking up to what's being done to this country on purpose with a purposeful invasion. Second clip coming up on our Tower of Babbling, where we just show how God places these supposedly wise people up high so we can look at them and say, wow, you know, they're not that wise. MSNBC plays the hits on the Middle East, right? Even the current issue over there, the current crisis. It's not the fault of the figurehead who's been in office nearly 4 years. No.
Ben, I've been thinking all day that back when we had that, what was called the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, and people, a lot of people had beef about it. They thought it wasn't the best deal around. I always thought the one thing that it does do is it gets America and Iran around the same table. Something that hasn't happened, something that we haven't had in place when October 7th happened and we needed to use influence over Hamas, and something we don't have tonight.
Yeah, that would be the deal that President Trump criticized and then changed and struck down. Yeah, but this has nothing to do with Barack Hussein Obama having sent $3 billion to Iran illegally, and then Joe Biden having sent $3 billion more illegally, right? Got it. Thank you, MSNBC. Last clip on today's Tower Babbling, then a challenging email to me. An email about which I'm a tiny bit suspicious. I don't normally feel that way, but I've been doing this for a little while, and this note does cause me to feel a little bit uneasy. Newsbusters notes that CNN climate warrior Bill Ware traveled 6,600 miles to Ushuaia, Argentina. Why? He went there to lament the use of fossil fuels before setting off on an Antarctica, in Antarctica, to take along with a group of whale scientists.
They are the biggest allies we have, literally, the biggest allies on the planet. And it's so good we saved them from oblivion, because when I was a little boy, they were on the brink of extinction. The comeback of the humpback is one of the great stories in conservation. And a couple years ago, some economists at the International Monetary Fund said, let's figure out the value of a whale.
What
Earth services it provides over a 60-year life, $2 million. $2 million in Earth services, all thanks to their poo.
So he went and discovered that by tagging along on a trip that was no doubt undertaken with fossil fuels. Is there another way he could have learned about whale poo? You know, like with, say, a phone call? Maybe even a Zoom session. But no, he traveled. Climate warrior, all against the fossil fuels, as you know. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On a Disciple's View.
I got this note, and I'm not clear on which show this gentleman is talking about. So it could have been my podcast, because I did a long, hour-long interview with a friend of mine who's a retired special operator. And I shared some of that here on this program. And my friend's name is Michael Rourke. Now, the reason that this email causes me to feel a little bit suspicious is its phraseology. And because it cherry picks my view on the war in Israel. My view on the war in Israel is this. I don't want us involved. I know that's an unpopular view, but here's why. We're funding both sides of the war. That is unbelievably immoral. I cannot imagine that that makes this a godly war, since we're funding both combatants, Israel and Iran, because Hamas is Iran. Also because it's ineffective. When the figurehead waited for the stock market to close and the Iranians to be able to relocate their VIPs, and then someone told the figurehead to allow these 85 missiles, that didn't work. It couldn't have worked because we gave them warning, 3 days to prepare. And in fact, there's been 3 so-called militia attacks against our troops since those rockets were fired. This is the email I got from an address, email address Natmo. Listen to your recent interview with the special operator, as someone who's worked in that world and whose every extended family member working in the military-industrial complex for generations, we understand firsthand how much humility is required to admit we've supported missions that merely filled the bank accounts of corporate elites. So just pausing as to why this caused me some feelings of suspicion is no one has every extended family member working in the military industrial complex. No one has every extended family member. That's a long shot. Many soldiers cannot admit they did wrong because it would hurt too much to face. Some of what your guest said was correct, however. You need to do much better research on who established ISIS and how it is used. It is no coincidence that ISIS pops up again and now. The phraseology, again and now. That caused me some suspicion. It doesn't seem to be an English first speaker. Secondly, our soldiers have not done wrong by taking orders from the civilian leadership. My friend Mike did not do wrong in the Middle East, taking terrorists out of buildings so they could be interrogated. He took orders, just as our military members do today. Back to the note. We are deeply concerned with your words about melting the sand in Iran. If you have discernment about the war in Ukraine, then use the same discernment about the war in Israel and Iran. We pray you put effort to research the history of regions and how these attacks against ancient Christians communities, and not merely spout the narrative of the military-industrial complex, which he shortens to MIC, or the writer shortens to MIC. I've already said, I don't want us involved in this war. But if the figurehead is going to be caused to push us into it, I want us to end it quickly by turning part of Iran into sand, and may God forgive us. I just don't want us involved. He closes the note, or they do, by saying, too many conservative talk show hosts have been rattling the war drums the past couple months. You too will lose us as listeners, as our nation will lose too many beautiful young people need another war to line the pockets of the corrupt elite, which will forever lay heavy on your conscience. Promote peace in the sanctity of life at all times. eyes have been opened for those who want to see. There's a reason the military-industrial complex is losing their generational members. The note causes me to feel suspicious that it's the Rush Limbaugh used to talk about seminar callers, and they actually existed, people who took seminars on how to get onto Rush's show and what to say. That email causes me a lot of suspicion. It feels like a seminar email. One of the reasons I am so against us being in the war in Israel is not just because we're funding both sides, but because I don't want my friends to die courtesy of my tax dollars. Yeah, we're paying for the weapons that are killing our Marines and our SEALs. Yeah, the two SEALs who died, and one fell out of the boat, the other went in to get him. No one I've talked to who are team guys believe that happened that way. They're far more likely to have been shot and then gone into the water. I will never forget a time I made a silly and stupid mistake talking to one of my friends who served. Stupid mistake. He was teaching me how to shoot my newly built AR-15 style rifle. It's actually a carbine, but it's like an M4 carbine. A friend of mine built for me, who is also a vet. We were shooting it on my friend's property, and I simply asked him, I said, "Hey, Steve, why do I have this slow release? I press this and I get this slow release. Why?" He said, "Oh, yeah, that's called your silent release, because sometimes you..." And he put his hand to his head and he turned away from me and he was trying to catch his breath. He said, "Sometimes you don't, sometimes you don't want people to hear you." I was there with my daughter and she looked at me with a blank, pale face. I said, "Oh, Steve, I'm sorry." He goes, "What? I'm sorry." "Oh, no. No, 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 you're good, you're fine." He wasn't. That's why I have these concerns. The email? This doesn't feel right. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We speak because we believe, and because He loved us first, we walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God Almighty decides you and I can speak again. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. And on behalf of AFR and Randy, this has been A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman.